Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
The residents of Memphis can expect their garbage and trash to continue piling up. These men are pretty determined that they want to clean up this city, but they're not going to do it under the conditions that they left.
I started in 1967, April the 15th. So we was there in 68 during the strike. My name is Cleopha Smith, and I'm still currently employed with the City Sanitation Department.
Cleopha Smith has worked for the city of Memphis for a long time, and he remembers what happened on this day 50 years ago to fellow sanitation workers Echo Cole and Robert Walker.
I was working in the Parkway Village area the day we got the news that those two men's head got crushed in the back of the truck. And what I do remember that we was told to keep on working. We worked until it was time for us to get off from work.
The deaths of Echo Cole and Robert Walker, crushed in the back of a sanitation truck, sparked the Memphis sanitation workers' strike. Martin Luther King Jr. used that strike to link the civil rights movement to poverty and the treatment of the working poor. King would show up in Memphis that spring. Cleopha Smith remembers the time well.
Well, the wages was very poor, $1.60 an hour, I think it might have been. The work was very harsh. Because during that time, we was going into the backyard with number three wash tubs, collecting the garbage, bringing it back out, dumping it onto a sanitation truck. We really had rough days back in that day and time, and a lot of the workers was really treated like little boys. I'm talking about grown men, 50, 60 years old. Was called, boy, do this, or boy, pick that up. So it really was a horrible situation back then as workers.
Were you treated that way as well?
Yeah, I were. There was times that when I went into a backyard, they would let the dog out on you. And I guess it's supposed to have been what we call nowadays a prank. And once they would let him out, knowing you was out there, they would call him off. We had quite a bit of trouble to go through in those days and times.
What was it like when the momentum built to strike behind this event?
It was still difficult days because we would march during the day and during the evening. We would go to Mason Temple to get whatever little food was rationed out to us for our families. We just hung out there and stuck in there, as Dr. King told us that we had to march for better working conditions and fair treatment and better wages. We just stuck in there and did as we was told to get this thing to come to a fruition.
And do you remember when you heard that Dr. King was coming to Memphis to join the protest and speak out on your behalf?
Yeah, we was glad. I think at that time it was Mr. T.O. Jones that got Dr. King here to help us in the strike. We are seeing a glimpse of just a glimpse of hope, because we really were struggling, meeting all kind of oppositions in the strike, dogs and fire hoses and mace and all kind of things was coming against us. At the same time, we were determined to stand up and keep on marching.
And Dr. King came to Memphis and spoke at that Mason Temple on April 3rd. Is that right?
I was there that night when he made his last mountaintop speech.
But I know somehow that only when it is dark enough can you see the stars.
And it was raining. It was a rainstorm that night, but the place was jam-packed.
And I see God working in this period of the 20th century in a way that men in some strange way are responding. Something is happening in our world.
I remember the speech, and I think I might have been up on the third floor balcony but I remember the speech that he made.
And when you and the other strikers, Mr. Smith, left the Mason Temple that night, I guess you got some marching orders. I guess you got some inspiration from Dr. King. But I don't know how you felt as you were stepping out that night into the rain.
We went home with great expectation and great hope that everything was going to be all right according to his speech.
And he's allowed me to go up to the mountain.
That he had been to the mountaintop.
I've looked over.
And seen the promised land.
And I've seen the promised land.
And he said, I might not get there with you, but we as a people, we'll make it to the promised land.
That we as a people will get to the promised land.
Then on April 4th, the very next day, Dr. King was dead.
And that's what we all felt, that all hope was gone. Yep, we felt all hope was gone until Mr. T.O. Jones and another gentleman by the name of Jesse Epps, if I'm not mistaken, picked up the torch and carried it on through.
Mr. Smith, America has seen the famous photos by now of African-American men, sanitation workers, carrying that famous sign, I am a man. You carried one of those signs.
It meant that we was coming out of the boyhood into the manhood. To me, is that we was no longer looked on as boys, but we was looked up to as minions. And it was a great honor to carry that sign. As a matter of fact, I got a couple on my uniform as I sit here and talk to you.
You still wear that slogan on your uniform?
I wear the badge as well as the tie pinion.
That gives me a great sense of history, Mr. Smith, but I wonder why you still have to wear it.
Because I want people to realize that don't know what it means, and if they ask me, then I have the opportunity to explain to them why I'm wearing it and what it means, which I get people asking me from day to day, you know, in the grocery stores, shopping mall, wherever I might go. What do that pin mean? And then I have an opportunity to explain to them, especially our young people, young generation, as to what the pinion really means. And they'll say, oh, I didn't know that. That's awesome. Matter of fact, I just left the bank a couple of hours ago, and a young lady asked me about my pinion, and I explained it to her, and I told her, I said, because of this pinion that I'm wearing, you're able to have the job that you have today. And she went like, wow.
I can't tell you how much I appreciate you taking the time to join us. It's an honor for me to get that sense of history from talking to you and from somebody who's been out on the line the way you were. So thank you.
Well, thank you, sir.
Cleophas Smith is a sanitation worker in Memphis, and he was a sanitation worker in Memphis in 1968 when workers went on strike in the spring.